السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. So yesterday, after completing the discussion on Imam Mahdi, we commenced the discussion on Dajjal, and we explained that the ulama say that the major signs of Qiyamah will come one after the other, like the beads that fall from a necklace that has broken. We explained that Dajjal, according to the popular view, is a human. And he will be sent to put man to test, and it will be the greatest test that mankind will ever see. He's called Masih either because his one eye is wiped out or because he will travel far distances. Both of those meanings are found in the word Masih. And Dajjal, because he's a trickster, he's a fraudster, he will come, as we discussed, at the time of great difficulty. 1 year, one third of the rain will be withheld. The second year, two thirds. The third year, no rain whatsoever. And now he will show people things that will make them assume that he could be the divine. But in reality, he is not Allah, because Allah will never come in human form or in the form of any creation. Laysa kamithlihi shay. We also discussed the story of Ibn Sayyad. He was a youngster who claimed prophethood in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would speak very kind of ambiguous things. We went through how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with him and how he said towards the end to Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu that you people believe me to be Dajjal, but I'm born in Medina. Dajjal cannot enter Medina. I have children. Dajjal will have no children. And I'm a Muslim. Towards the end, they say he repented and he became Muslim. Others say he disappeared at some stage. Nobody knows what happened to Ibn Sayyad. And then we also discussed the physical descriptions of Dajjal. One that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he's got no one eye and the other eye is like a floating grape, and your Allah is not one-eyed. We also explained that he will be short. He will walk pigeon-toed, as they say, with his toes inwards, curly hair, thick, and he will be white. Let me just explain at this juncture that there are three groups of scholars, broadly speaking, when it comes to the interpretation of this aspect of Dajjal. There are those scholars who say, no, it's all these ahadith are fabricated. It comes from the Banu Israel. Therefore, there's no such thing as a physical Dajjal. What is meant by Dajjal is satanic forces that will make evil prevail. That's one group of scholars. And they are in the minority. Then there's another group of scholars who say, no, there will be a physical Dajjal, but that it's not necessary that he would only come in the time of Imam Mahdi. He has probably come already. And they interpret the ahadith differently. And they say he will be there for a prolonged period of time. He will appear and disappear. And they go into a long history that it was actually a jinn who was rebellious in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, who tried to steal the throne of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And Sulaiman alayhi salam then had him chained. And he will re-emerge. So he's already there. And they say he's from the jinn. And he's behind a lot of the wrongs that have taken place from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up to now. That's the second group. But the most popular group are those who say no, he is physical. It's not a metaphoric thing that it refers to satanic forces. He is physical and he will come close to Qiyamah. Now, where will he emerge from? Some ahadith tell us that Khurasan. Khurasan is a place in Iran, and Iran is to the east of Madinatul Munawwara. And that hadith says that he will be followed by people with faces like hammered shields, meaning their faces will be broad, round, and fleshy. That's the meaning of hammered shields. Then there are other ahadith that say that he will come between Iraq and Syria. Some say he will make multiple appearances when he does come. Others say, broadly speaking, it's in the same region. Now there's a famous story, it's known as the story of Jassasa. One day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the Sahaba in congregation. And immediately after Salah, he told them, nobody moves, I've got something to tell you. And the Nabi of Allah said, today I'm very happy, because all along I've been telling you about Dajjal. And now Tamim Dari, the Christian, has come to accept Islam. And when he accepted Islam, he told me that he and 30 of his colleagues were lost at sea for over a month. And they ended up in an island. And when they came to the island, they saw Jassasa, a beast that they like they've never seen before. And they asked him, who are you? He said, I'm Jassasa. So when they tried to speak to him, he said, no, don't speak to me, speak to the guy in the monastery. There was a monastery on the island. And when they went there, they saw a massive, frightening looking individual who was totally tied in chains, his hands behind his neck. So they asked him, who are you? He said, no, you tell me, who are you? So they said who they were, and he asked them a series of questions. He said that, for example, he wanted to know about certain rivers, if they had dried up or not, certain areas, whether there was date palms. And then he asked about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that those who are opposing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who's winning? And what's the situation? Eventually he told them that I am Dajjal. And when my time comes, I will emerge. And the reason he was asking all these questions, he wanted to see whether those signs of his emergence are coming closer that will lead to him coming out. And he said, when I am given permission, meaning everything happens by the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when I am given permission, then I will emerge. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was told this entire story with more detail. I'm giving you the summary of it by Tamim Dari when he accepted Islam radiallahu anhu. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was now conveying this to the Sahaba. There's an authentic hadith and saying that these 30 people got lost and they found Dajjal on the island and he was shackled. And then Dajjal told them that I will never be able to enter Makkah or Medina because there will be angels guarding Makkah and Medina. And what happened was that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam related this part of the hadith that he will never be able to enter Makkah and Medina, he hit his thigh and he said, this is Taiba, this is Taiba, this is Taiba, meaning here in Medina, you will be protected. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that he will come from the Syrian Sea or he will come from the Yemeni Sea. The Syrian Sea is the Mediterranean Sea and the Yemeni Sea is the Arabian Sea. So east of Medina, that is where the scholars say that Dajjal will emerge. Some have tried to link it to the Bermuda Triangle. You may have heard of the Bermuda Triangle. They say that ships went in there, never came out. The compass goes all upside down and planes flew over there and they never came back. But the Bermuda Triangle, if you look at the map, where it is situated and where the east of Medina Munawwara is and the different wordings of the hadith, it doesn't fit. Let me just conclude with this particular point. Remember, like I said with Imam Mahdi and Dajjal, to some extent the scholars have interpreted. The rest, they said, time will interpret. For example, in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you said somebody can move from one side to the world to the other in a day, it sounds far-fetched. So they wouldn't interpret it. They say, Allah knows best. Today it doesn't sound far-fetched. With a flight, you can fly from any one side of the world to another in a day or less. So as time progresses, certain meanings of the ahadith pertaining to the Dajjal will become more evident. That is also a principle that we need to understand. We'll leave it there for today. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and understanding, inshallah.